listening to the No Agenda Stream, where freedom lives and censorship comes to get its ass kicked.
Keep it right here. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
I love getting up in the morning to Darren O'Neill. Who the fuck is that?
I don't think I can.
Darren O'Neill, you never disappoint. The handoff is probably one of the most favorite things of my week. Thank you very much for your rock and roll pre-show in the morning, trolls. You are connected directly to the heart of the Texas Hill Country.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for your Gitmo Nation national anthem.
Yes, rise and sing.
In the morning, Gitmo Nation, we are all charged up to be human resources and service in all lands and all ships at sea. From the east to west, down under to the lowlands and beyond. We are happy and distracted slaves. Hear our Gitmo Nation song.
In fact, it wasn't really that frightening, but it spread with expert timing. There were tiny little mice on a funky cruising boat. They were stirring it up. They were spreading it around. It's a viral little threat, so everybody do your best. Don't eat the droppings off the floor and spread it. In fact, it wasn't really that frightening, but it spread with expert timing.
And it's a doozy, folks. Trump's in the big chair, pulling every string and joke. Two mega heavyweights, Marco and young JD. He's running the reality show, no votes, no mercy. It's Rubio versus and oil and diplomats. Who handles it best? Trump's watching from the couch, deciding who's next. Nigeria, Nigeria, who's the big man? One gets the endorsement, the other gets the ban. Hey. Rubio's diplomatic, smooth as Florida sand. Vance is from the hills with that hillbilly fighting brand. Ship them both to Abuja, let the cameras roll. Trump tweets the results, you're hired or you're fired, troll. No more debates, no rallies, just a foreign policy test. Adam says it's happening better than the rest. Next GOP candidate, handpicked by the Don, based on who can tame that Nigerian con. It's Rubio again. How you gonna deal with Lagos, boys? Bring the pain. Scams and oil and diplomats. Who handles it best? Trump's watching from the couch, deciding who's next. Nigeria, Nigeria. Who's the big man? One gets the nod for 28. The other's got no plan. It's the end of the show, but the game rolls on. Adam's pretty sure
up to the dawn. Trump TV 2028, stay tuned for this election. ITM, everybody, connection is protection. There's a woody mystery waking us up. A sudden sensation we can't really stop. It bypasses logic, it bypasses brain. A wild momentum that's hard to explain. The world tries to hide it, but nature prevails. In locker room stories and locker room tales.
Caught in a sudden romance.
We know that it's physically magic.
Someday we'll find it.
The erection connection. The horny, the hopeful, and me. It starts with a fondle, a spark in the dark. A biological walk in the park. From morning till evening, the energy grows. And where it will lead us, everybody knows. An unstoppable force that is ready to climb. It happens to everyone, time after time.
Caught in a sudden romance.
We know that it's physically magic.
Someday we'll find it.
The erection connection. The horny, the hopeful, and me.
Take some no agenda wisdom, dear. You have to learn to laugh at fear. And then it will all become clear.
There was never anything to even be afraid of. All that stuff,
they just made it up.
Stop corrupting your mind.
Stop wasting your time and listen to no agenda. It's a philosophy,
and it's just like it ought to be.
How many shots until you see? How many mask-ups will it take to wake you up to see? That being woke is a practical joke. A backroom banker, cigar smoking, cane tapping blokes, and you're the punchline.
No agenda
anymore. Value for value, see, works itself out naturally. As far as who should and who should not be listening, those who should do, and they give time and treasure to come to conclude that giving to like-minded people feels good too.
I think we're going to Spotify. Straight to Spotify. Hey, in the morning to you. How you doing?
Can you give me some more level?
Some more level?
Yeah, I've got you maxed out, and I can barely hear you.
Oh, hold on a sec. Let me see what's going on. You got me maxed out. Let's see. What is going on? Output devices. This is going to... Oh. Oh, that's interesting. Let me see. USB chat in... 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 No, that's not it.
What the hell's that?
I don't know what that is. Wait, here we go. 1 2 1 2 Is that better?
Not much.
Okay, let me pull that. Hold on. That's odd. Let me see. How about now? Is that better?
Ah, now you're talking. Okay, now you can catch it back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now give me some levels so I can get the right.
Give me some what?
Just chat for a second. So
yeah, 1 2 check 1 2 2 2 2 Hello, John C. Dvorak testing 1 2
Okay.
1 2 1 2
In the morning.
In the morning to you. In the morning to the fat lady. In the morning to the fat. The beach. In the morning to the Valkyries. Yeah, pulse audio control. That's right. That's right. We up into pulse audio control. You heard it, trolls. That's right. Hey, we can't start the show until we fire off that bat signal. There it is. Retweet the tweet. Boost the tune. nasty X wine on the blue cry. Spin a reel. Do something crazy on the TikToks. Episode 1870 of the best podcast in the universe. Your No Agenda Show is next. MC Dvorak. Test 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, test. Sounds groovy. And let me record here. Is it? How you feeling? You feeling good? You feeling ready?
Sorry?
Are you feeling good? You feeling ready? It's a big show, you know. It takes a lot out of people.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Well, all right, then. Let's go.
Trying to figure out a couple of things here.
Okay.
Don't miss.
There's a lot to miss today.
Ready?
Yeah.
Did it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, May 21st, 2026. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1870.
This is No Agenda.
Sniffing out the new strain and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country right here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Refinery Row, where there's no Ebola, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill. In the morning.
Yeah, that's what you think, but it's coming. Ebola's coming everywhere. It's coming. I wanted to do something we haven't done in a while, if that's okay.
Flying saucers?
No, not flying saucers. No. We used to do this, in fact, I think you used to do it, but I figured I'd do it now. Let's listen to the headlines as brought to us by David Muir to tease the wonderful world we live in, and then wonder why people don't feel good about themselves.
Tonight's several breaking stories. The two teenagers in body armor allegedly charging into that Islamic center. And in New York City tonight, the woman who plunged into a searing manhole, a witness saying she was screaming, "I'm dying." First tonight, the breaking developments. Late today, police revealing it was two heavily armed teenagers in body armor carrying shotguns, rifles, and handguns into that Islamic center. Children not far away. Security guard who took them on.
Wait,
in New York City.
Stop it.
What? I'm playing.
You had to start it over.
Why?
Didn't he start off with the Muslim thing, and then he jumped to the woman falling in the manhole and goes back to the other headline?
Hey, man, he's going to make you feel like crap. That is his job.
But I've never heard this before where they've gone from topic to new topic to old topic.
Well, now that you mentioned it.
Unless I misheard something.
Well, let's listen again.
Tonight, several breaking stories. The two teenagers in body armor allegedly charging into that Islamic center. And in New York City tonight, the woman who plunged into a searing manhole, a witness saying she was screaming, "I'm dying." First tonight, the breaking developments.
Okay, so it's like he's teasing the top two stories, which is teenagers killing Muslims, then the woman falling into a searing manhole. Not just a manhole, a searing manhole. Unless that's something I'm not aware of. And then he goes into the rundown. But the rundown includes a lot more. I think we're spending too much time on it.
First of all, I think that's bad form. But okay, just let it play. I'm not going to interrupt anymore.
I'm not saying I disagree. I agree it's bad form.
Tonight, several breaking stories. The two teenagers in body armor allegedly charging into that Islamic center. And in New York City tonight, the woman who plunged into a searing manhole, a witness saying she was screaming, "I'm dying." First tonight, the breaking developments. Late today, police revealing it was two heavily armed teenagers in body armor carrying shotguns, rifles, and handguns. Into that Islamic center. Children not far away. The security guard who took them on. In New York City, the horrific and deadly scene in Midtown Manhattan. A woman opening her car door and disappearing down an open manhole, falling into the intense heat below the street surface. How this happened. Tonight, the tornadoes touching down, damaging winds and severe storms set to hit again this evening. And records broken in Philadelphia. Intense heat in New York City and Boston. Ginger Z is here. Alarming news tonight about the deadly Ebola outbreak. An American doctor infected now raced to another country for emergency help. The case is now spiking. Tonight, the extraordinary order from the Justice Department barring the IRS from investigating President Trump, his sons, and their companies and their taxes. Tonight, the murder case in the Northeast. A man convicted of killing his brother and his brother's wife and children, setting their home on fire, then setting his own home on fire, his family inside, to make it look like the whole family had been targeted. What the judge has now decided. Tonight, major primaries being watched in this country. President President Trump taking aim at one of his top political targets, Republican Congressman Thomas Massie.
We're all gonna die!
I'm telling you, they had to dig deep to get the guy who burned the family. I mean, hey, we need more horrible things for the T's. David wants more horrible things. Give him more horrible things to talk about.
Well, you know, if you're gonna play... The technique here should be to play, now you should play Tom Yamas's version of the same thing. And I think that NBC, because I was thinking about this earlier too, these openers. Mm-hmm. And I think NBC does the best job. I think NBC is the leader in the news business. I think Tom Yamas does a terrific job. Mm. And I think their opening tease is superior to ABC's.
I will make sure I have one on Sunday. I'll make sure that we have the superior tease. In fact, from now on, it'll be known as the superior tease from Tom Yamas. You're probably right. But this was, this was good.
Because for one thing, he repeats himself here.
Yeah,
on two stories.
I know.
He brings in the Muslims. He brings in the woman falling in the hole. Then he brings back the Muslims and brings back the woman falling in the hole.
Do you think?
And then he goes to tornadoes.
Just throws in a tornado. Do you think the woman was on her phone?
Yeah, probably.
I just have a thought, like.
But I didn't know there were that many manholes that close to the curb.
Well, I remember living in New York, you'd have these manholes covers that were just steaming and, smoke or steam arising.
Steam would
and
be coming up.
From time to time, we had the exploding manholes. I'm sure we had
that
a couple
was always
stories.
The best.
Yeah, that we had a
kaboom
exploding manhole. I thought personally that it was interesting the choice of them saying President Trump, remarkable, IRS may never audit President Trump or his children. Which is not really the headline of the story, because the story is the slush fund for Trump allies. That's the story.
We've got these clips of that.
But to me, I just want to get a start on this. I thought the biggest story to me, which no one played as a story, was this.
We've been listening to Vice President J.D. Vance holding a White House press briefing, filling in for Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. Vance started with Iran, saying the administration has the ability to restart a military campaign, but adding that's not what President Trump or Iran want, and that both sides are attempting to negotiate in good faith.
So, not the story about Iran, but the fact that Vance was filling in for Karoline Leavitt, and he was fantastic. I mean, that should be his job. He should be talking to the press every single day. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I did. I saw the whole thing.
I thought it was good.
And it's kind of surprising because normally when the press secretary is not there to talk, the associate or assistant or whoever it is a secondary person.
They get the gig.
I've never seen the vice president take it over.
And it was great. He's like, hey, I got one or two of these things. Let me see. I just got two clips of him expertly, I would say, managing the press corps.
Okay, Garrett, you have your hand up.
Garrett, you had your hand up. It's the Vice President of the United States. Hey, who has had their hand up? Do you need to go to the rest? You need to go potty? Okay, rest. Yeah, all right, here we go.
Okay, Garrett, you have your hand up. Garrett, hey,
that's right. That's right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Midterms are well underway. You've got voters going to the polls in six states today. You and the President ran on a platform that included no new wars, cutting gas prices, cutting inflation. What do you say to people who are going to the polls today and who feel like those promises are unkept?
Well, I'd say a few things. First of all, we've delivered great wins for the American people. We ran on delivering tax cuts to the American people, which we did, the largest tax cuts in American history. We ran on cutting taxes, particularly on people who were working on overtime, working on tips. We cut taxes for those Americans. We ran on the promise of bringing investment back into the United States of America, that rather than factory closures, we were going to have factories opening. And we've seen both construction jobs in manufacturing, but also manufacturing jobs have great rebounds under the Trump administration. And under our leadership, we are very aware that because of what's going on in the Middle East, gas prices have gone up and a lot of Americans are struggling because of that. Our view is that it is a temporary increase. We're taking a number of steps to try to push back against it and try to ensure that Americans are paying as little at the pump as possible. But I feel quite confident after we've taken care of business in the Middle East, those prices are going to come down. And there have been a lot of prices, as you know, a lot of prices from rent to housing, where we still got a lot of work to do, but we do see some real progress made across the economy on pricing, but also on people's jobs.
I mean, expertly done. I mean, it doesn't matter what he says. He's just pop, 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 pop. It's so,
he's a smooth talker.
It's so much better than having the press secretary. I like Carolyn Leavitt, but who cares? She's an in between person. Vance is the
Trump. Well, this could be a, well, not you. You brought this in and as your top story.
Well,
I will say story. That it's possible that this may be a trend.
Why not? It makes so. If much you can sense. Get it,
but you have to have a vice president that can talk well. As like, for example, Pence couldn't do this.
Do you think Kamala Harris?
He was stiff. He was a prick.
Kamala Harris couldn't do it either.
She couldn't do it in a million years.
No, but now it'll be a requirement for vice president. I think the vice president.
Well, this is where you're jumping the gun here, I think. But I'm thinking it's possible that it could be a requirement for vice president. It's possible that this could be a trend.
One more clip.
Because it works.
Yes. Let's hear one more from him.
I'm just going to start calling John Ross.
John, I'm going to be calling my favorites. Who's the teacher's pet? John Ross. Not you. Not that John. John Ross. And yeah, John Ross. Good. Yeah.
I'm going to call on John. I'm just going to start calling John Ross.
John Michael Ross, Daily Mail.
Yes.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Yes. You're good.
You too. Thank you. So Trump initially said that the war would last 6 weeks. We are now. It's been going on for 11 weeks and 3 days.
Also, what Carolyn Leavitt always does. She always says, the fake news media has, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, many of you have reported in this room, she's so adversarial. And here, Vance.
She's kind of like, Trump picks these women. Sarah Huckabee was the same way, remember.
Yes, adversarial. But
she was really mean to everybody.
Yeah, and this is, like, everyone's kind of like, hey, it's J.D., substitute teacher, J.D., yeah, that's good. We can ask him anything. He doesn't care. He's not going to slam us for that.
What's your message to the American people as to why it's gone on so long and it hasn't ended yet?
Well, first of all, the president said it's going to be a short-term operation, and I think that has proven out to be true. The active period of conflict lasted about five and a half weeks.
Oh.
And
now active conflict. Hello, people. Get it right.
We've been in the ceasefire where we're trying to get a negotiated settlement that gets the American people the things that we need for our national security. So I've said before that we're going to go one of two options here. We're going to have a good settlement that actually gets the American people what they need, or we're going to go back to a kinetic operation.
Kinetic.
Obviously, the president prefers to get that settlement. I think the Iranians prefer to get that settlement. But regardless of what direction the president ultimately goes down, whatever he ultimately decides, I think it's important for the American people to know two things. Number one, it will be for their security and their prosperity. That's why we're doing this. And number two, this is not going to be the sort of thing that lasts forever. I think a lot of Americans, especially in my generation, who are worried about forever endless conflicts, we have to remember, I think you said 11 weeks, a big chunk of that has been a ceasefire. This is not a forever war. We're going to take care of business and come home. That's what the president's promised, and that's exactly what he's going to deliver.
I mean, outstanding. I mean, remember we had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, she's the worst.
Jean-Pierre. We had her. We had, who else did we have?
She's Psaki. Just a liar.
We had Psaki.
Psaki. Well, yeah, but she was back with Psaki.
Yeah. This is so much more entertaining. He is making the press briefing exciting again. And I only caught it because all four screens on the quad were running it. That never happens.
They were probably running it because they thought they'd screw up.
Maybe. I think everyone was just surprised by it. And I just thought, I'll step in. Yeah. But she just had a baby. He should do it for a couple weeks. Give that girl some time off. I'm all for it. It's much better. Very exciting. I'm very excited.
Well, my top story is the one I wrote up in the newsletter.
Yeah.
And that is, and I have one clip, which is Massey, the top story, Massey losing. And
yeah, Massey's good, yes.
And no matter what anybody, I don't care why, I'm asking you, why there was a scandal. It could be, and we have a letter from one of our boots on the ground guys who knows Lauren Boebert, and he wrote a very nice note in. You probably have it there.
I actually don't think I have it handy. I had to close my email.
Oh, it's familiar. Okay.
Yeah, I can open it up.
Excuse me.
Don't die on me. Tell me the scandal first.
I'm getting there. I have, I'll get it. I'll bring it up. But play this clip, because this is the story. It seems to me that the fact that they refused, all the media, including Fox, refuses to discuss, which I talked about in the newsletter in detail, the scandal about Massey, which dropped him in May 8th. He was 71% chance, according to the betting polls, 71% chance of winning the election. Within a week, he dropped it to like 34 or 31 or something really low, or 41. That didn't happen because of Trump.
No.
Trump has been against this guy for a long time.
I don't think. And by the way, I don't think I got that email that you're referring to. I don't see it anywhere. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, it was. You were on it, but I'll get it. But meanwhile,
yes, I'm sorry to interrupt. So tell us what the scandal is.
The scandal is that Massey. Well, let's play this clip, and I'll tell you what the scandal is.
Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey is the latest Republican lawmaker to lose his seat for crossing President Trump.
The race was another display of the president's hold on Republican voters. This morning, when asked about not endorsing incumbents, Trump said he'd spoken to Senate leadership on the Republican side.
Some of them don't know how to win. I know how to win. I think I've proven that, haven't I?
Massey lost his primary to Trump-backed candidate Ed Gowron by nearly 10 percentage points last night. That was just one race among six states that held elections Tuesday, the busiest primary day of the midterms. Democrats in Georgia and other states continue to see large voter turnout, which could be a good sign for them in November's midterm elections.
NPR's Stephen Fowler stayed up late last night to watch these results and joins us here early this morning. Good morning, Stephen. Did Massey lose because he went against some of Trump's policies?
Yes and no. I mean, Thomas Massey clashed with Trump over the Epstein files. He actually led to the release of the files. He clashed with Trump over the Iran war and foreign conflicts. He opposed Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. So Trump did back a challenger, former Navy SEAL officer Ed Gowron. And what's the latest example of Trump taking out anyone who isn't 100% loyal in the last year or so? The last time an incumbent lost was Saturday with Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy. But Massey kept it close. I will also note that yesterday, Trump endorsed Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to oust incumbent Senator John Cornyn ahead of next Tuesday's runoff. You're already hearing some Republicans there fret if Paxton wins because polls indicate his victory would make the general election race more competitive, especially in what's shaping up to be a wave year for Democrats.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened was, and it was all over the, and I'm getting the impression.
It was all over X. Everyone was talking
about it. It was all over X, and I think it was all over, I think it was on TikTok.
Woo!
But I think it was algo-driven. And so I'm beginning to think that the people who do run NPR, they are getting feeds that are different than feeds that you get, I get, and people that would be involved with the Massey, people in Kentucky that voted against Massey. And it was a smear campaign that indicated that once Massey's wife died, he had an affair with at least two women. One of them turned on him and said that he was turned into a complete horn dog, and he was screwing Lauren Boebert immediately, thinking she's the hottest thing in Congress.
Now, can I just give you a little different perspective on that? So his wife wasn't she ill? Did she die suddenly? Died suddenly.
Yeah, she died suddenly.
I'm just saying.
Give me this perspective.
I was going to say that, you know, a guy who, it's possible that a lot is possible, but when you're released from something that you might not have been happy in, that's what you do.
Yeah, but that's fine and dandy, but it's not what you do when you're a congressman.
What do you mean?
And you don't let this kind of dirt come out because it makes you look like a douchebag dog.
He's just and a man. So, he's just a man. Yes.
And these are just voters. And anyways, supposedly he had a phone, a special burner phone that he called a boner phone.
Oh, and there was show a title, boner phone.
And there was, and so this, because he was calling all these girls.
Yeah.
And then he got married immediately. Yeah, she was married within a year.
That was
very pretty girl.
That was pretty quick. I agree. That was fast.
And that was not good. And
what is,
so,
hold on. You're steamrolling me. What is the appropriate time between the death, just asking for a friend?
If you're a politician.
Yes.
It's at least 2 years.
It's 24 months. Okay. All right. I think it's reasonable.
Now, for some jerk on the street who doesn't care one way or the other, you can get married the next month. Nobody gives a crap about it. But if you're a politician, especially if you're running against Trump trying to get you out, you don't do any of this stuff. You just stay by, you know, you lead a clean life. It's not that hard to lead a clean life. Of course, I'm old, so I can say that. But it's not that hard, and if you're a politician, that's what you want to do. So this came out, and there were some AI videos showing the boner phone and him talking to it, and Boebert on there flirting with him. That kind of thing showed up in certain feeds and not other feeds, but it showed up in my feed, and I think it showed up in the feed of the voters, and this was never discussed by anybody. Fox didn't discuss it. ABC, NBC, CBS, nobody discussed the scandal. Mm-hmm. And I just played a clip from NPR, and they're boneheaded about Trump didn't like him, so that's why he got out. Again, May 8th, it was 71% chance of winning. May 8th, that's not that long ago. And so next thing, the rugs pull out from under him within a 1 or 2 week period. That's how it happened. And nobody's discussing it. I find it ridiculous that the media is so oblivious to this.
Well, do you think they're oblivious?
That's my point.
Do you think they're oblivious, or do you think that it's more important for them to say Trump did it, which he did? I mean,
this is the question I could ask you. Were they oblivious because they weren't there? They weren't in the algo, which I think is possible, because they're not very aggressive about the, some of these people won't even watch Fox News.
Well, yeah, Massey was on. He was going on MS Now and CNN. He was for all intents and purposes on quote unquote their side of the Epstein argument, and I think the Epstein released the Epstein files. All files that, except for the ones that were under investigation, that was his law. I think it's the only bill he's ever gotten passed. I think it's the only one. And, you know, his courtship with Tucker and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, he put himself in the enemy camp. And the way I see it, Trump went, we have to send a message. We have to send a message.
May 8th, 71%. That's all I'm saying. I think he could have beaten it, because Rand Paul does it all the time. Rand Paul's in Kentucky, same state. They're contrarian there. They don't care. I don't think Trump's influence had as much to do with it as the smear.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Hegseth,
because of the nature of Kentucky,
everybody,
Rand Paul, and this guy's been reelected over and over. Let me read from Mark's note.
All
he
right.
thinks the whole thing was created. I think it may have been a creation, too. The story was easy to manufacture, and it killed two birds with one stone. Lauren came out in supporting Massey, so they decided to take them both down with one shot. It was almost too easy. I know, Lauren. And there are positive and negative things about her. The one positive thing about her is that she's a fighter and the truth, and for truth and common sense. Lauren likes to let her hair down and have fun too, as we saw by the video of her in the theater.
Yes,
the guy's grabbing her breasts. But she did not have sexual relations with that man.
Yeah, it sounds like a smear to me, too, honestly.
No, I think it was, and I think it was well executed.
But you know, it didn't show up in my algo, and that was surprising. No one tagged me in any of the stories, but it did. Here's where it's important. It did come, because Tina told me, did you hear about Lauren Boebert? You know, Tina doesn't watch anything anymore, but she hears it from the ladies of Fredericksburg. So one of the big MAGA ladies heard about it. So it was definitely in the MAGA algo.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe there's an algo issue here. Anyway, he continues. There's a faction of the Colorado GOP that is following Trump's orders and scrambling to find a candidate to primary her, Lauren. I call them the Davidians, and after Dave Williams, the former Colorado GOP chairman, that screwed up the party beyond where it was already screwed up. This can lose them and the one seat they could hold on to, which is Lauren's seat. If they lose it, you can thank Trump for that. I honestly believe Trump wants Congress to flip for the midterms to show up Johnson and Thune. He could care less about the Republican Party. He thinks it's his own party in force.
Well, that's an interesting twist.
I like the theory.
Yeah, that's not a bad theory at all.
Colorado is going... This is actually pretty interesting now. Colorado is going to complete the Californication of the state this midterm election. The Democrats, Socialists of America, have taken over the Democrat Party here and put in their own candidates, including a mental patient that wears a dress for state treasurer.
Colorado, wow.
Colorado's office
way to
is
go.
Gone.
Way to go, Colorado.
All major state offices will have DSA members, and Congress will be 7-1 Democrat, with almost all with DSA allegiance, which is sickening.
Mm-hmm.
The one Republican will be Boebert, unless the Colorado GOP does the bidding of the DSA and primaries her. Colorado's a real shit show all across the board. The Democrats have destroyed the state, and the idiot voters are doubling down on stupid. Legalized marijuana did the opposite of how it was supposed to work. They deserve their fate. I'm moving to Tampa Bay if I can sell my house and going to live in Anna Paulina Luna's district. She's smart, a fighter, and a former stripper, which is everything I want in my congresswoman.
This is a true citizen of No Agenda Nation. Perfect. Perfect.
And it goes on with some other details about stuff going on in Colorado. But I always thought Luna was just a bathing suit model. I didn't know she was a stripper.
So there is one other theory. From your boy, here we go.
It's the most expensive race in terms of ad spend in history, they say. Most expensive primary. It's $32 million in total in ads. I think $20 million purely from the Israel lobby for Gallrein. And we all know why that is. It's because Thomas Massie is the most vocal critic of the Israel lobby in Congress, and specifically in the Republican conference, in the Republican Party in the House. He voted against foreign aid, voted for release of the Epstein files, voted in favor of the War Powers Resolution against the Iran war, and he called out AIPAC and their handlers on Tucker Carlson's show. What's interesting, though, and I said this on my show, is that they're now all trying to make this about Trump. Even if you watch Pete Hegseth's speech, he says, well, why is Thomas Massie a problem? He is not with the team. He's not supporting Trump in a time of war. He's not voting with our movement.
That's right. They're deflecting to Trump. And does he have the power to run the party when in really it's all about Israel?
Exactly. They're hiding behind him. And the press is letting them do that because that line is coming from the White House and the Israel lobby.
Yeah, there you go. And that this is what you have to understand. It's all about the Israel lobby. All about that. It's not about anything else but the Israel lobby. And President Trump doubled down on it.
I'm right now at 99% in Israel. I could run for prime minister. So maybe after I do this, I'll go to Israel, run for prime minister. I had a poll this morning. I'm 99%. So that's good. But no, he's a wartime prime minister. And I just don't think they treat him well. I think they have a president over there that treats him very poorly.
You're on the same page.
There you go. President Trump. He will be the next prime minister of Israel. So it's a shoo-in. It's the Jews, man. Get it together. It has nothing to do with Boebert. This is how people think.
I don't think they think that way.
What?
I think they think in terms of sex and scandals.
No, I'm talking about our own people.
Oh, our people, yeah. Well, that's for sure.
Trolls right now. Like,
yeah, they're
Jew money. It was all Jew money. Here's Hegseth on the case.
Primary elections are being held in six states today, including Kentucky, where Republican Congressman Thomas Massie is in a tough fight with Trump-backed challenger Ed Gallrein. Massey has been critical of the president's policies and has worked to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. In an extraordinary break with the military's tradition of political neutrality, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth appeared at a campaign event for Galrine in Kentucky yesterday and attacked Massey, who called the appearance desperate.
Need reinforcement from Republicans. And that fight requires a Congress full of warriors, including Ed. This one, ladies and gentlemen, is a no-brainer.
It's kind of crazy that you would send the Secretary of War. President Trump would not be doing this if they were confident that they were winning, and they're worried that I'm going to win.
The Pentagon says Hegseth appeared as a private citizen and not as the Secretary of War. They say no taxpayer dollars were used to pay for the visit.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, here's MS Now.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary, unusual, inappropriate for a defense secretary to be on the campaign trail to begin with. Let's just start there, to be out campaigning for a candidate.
Is it inappropriate for a defense secretary to do that?
Says who?
Well, Willie from MS Now.
Why is it inappropriate?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Or Hatch Act.
Well, why doesn't he explain it?
Oh, that's a Hatch Act.
Because nobody's done it before? Somebody has. I doubt that nobody's done it before.
It's the Hatch Act, man.
There to be out campaigning for a candidate. There are Hatch Act considerations potentially here. But then to do it in the middle of a war where just hours ago the president was on the brink, he said, of a new round of strikes against Iran before pulling back again. We'll get into that in just a moment. You have the Secretary of Defense on the campaign trail. And as you say, why are they fighting against Thomas Massie? Because he wants all the information out. He wants the truth out about the Epstein files.
Oh,
and this
yeah,
is how
sure.
hard they're working to suppress that truth. The president dispatching his Secretary of Defense to campaign against the guy who's trying to get to the bottom of that. Also, Joe, I know this is something you've talked about for years now, which is that Thomas Massie, the argument goes from his opponents and yesterday from the head of defense, is not conservative, that he's anti-Trump, he's not conservative. Look at the voting record of Thomas Massie. Talk to anybody who's ever spent 10 minutes on Capitol Hill. He is incredibly conservative in all the ways that conservatism used to actually hold up. Now we're talking about Trumpism, which is something very different from conservatism. But the MAGA folks, Secretary of Defense, trying to conflate those two things. If you're against Donald Trump, even on the Epstein files, now you're not conservative.
So I guess we should still believe that there's Epstein files we haven't seen. The real ones.
I guess.
The pedo files.
It probably is.
I'm sure there's something we haven't seen. But even Massey's own bill called for all files except active investigations. He wasn't really asking for all files. I mean, I want to see frazzle drip as much as anybody else.
I don't think the Epstein thing was the key issue here. It was he's voted against a big, beautiful bill.
Yeah.
He voted against. He just would not get on board with a lot of the, from the Trump perspective, ignoring the real reason that he lost, which was the scandal. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you'd expect it. Yeah, I mean, so first of all, we have to remind ourselves that the news media is not here to report on the news. It is to get us to vote Democrat. That's what they do. Even Fox is questionable.
Yes.
So they want to make Trump look bad, you know, Hegseth, anyone else who is Trump adjacent. That's what they do. So it wasn't in their best interest to launch this scandal or to report on the scandal.
Report it.
Yeah, report. It wasn't in their best interest.
No, because then it would detract from the points they're trying to make.
So now let's go to our next president, President Tucker, who did an interview with Israel's Channel 13. Did you happen to see this?
No, I did not. I didn't even know this happened.
This is fantastic. So just note that Tucker was there. Whenever something happened, Tucker was there. So this was a very adversarial interview, but I found it fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
You are one of Donald Trump's most consistent and vocal supporters. You called on people to vote for him. What happened?
Yes. What happened was the war with Iran, which I don't believe serves the interests of the United States. I think it's destructive to the United States and to the world, but mostly to the United States. I'm an American. That's what I care about. And that's something he promised he wouldn't do. For 10 years, he argued against a war like this. And then for a variety of reasons, not all of which I understand, he embarked on it. And so I can't support that. My views did not change. His did.
Do you generally believe Israel would try to harm you because of your opinion?
Do I believe Israel would try to harm me?
Yes.
I mean, of course, I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be harmed.
Yeah.
But my main interest is not Israel.
I'm just asking you. You were implied to that when you spoke about your coming to Israel. Let's see that for a second.
And I said to them, okay, I want to send you the flight information. And I want you to pass that on to the Israeli military just so, you know, they don't mistake us for an Iranian drone or something. I mean, not to be paranoid, but again, this is probably the most violent country in the world, Israel.
So Israel is the most violent state in the world, even more than Iran? Are you serious?
No country, and I say this with sadness, but no country has boasted more about killing its political opponents than Israel, of course, about its assassination programs. The Prime Minister of Israel gave a golden pager to the President of the United States. I was there. And that golden pager represented the pagers that Hezbollah leaders were killed by. Sure. I mean, so yes, Israel brags about assassinating people. And of course, it does assassinate people. Many countries assassinate people, but Israel makes a public relations campaign out of boasting about killing its opponents. So,
dude, have you ever heard someone say Allahu Akbar? Tucker, he doesn't know what he said in the past.
Yes, this is the most concerning part. He doesn't remember anything he said in the past.
And
he's adamant about it. I never said that.
But he also says, you know, President Trump went to war in Iran, which he promised he wouldn't do. Totally true. For reasons I don't understand why, but it's not America first. Well, maybe you should ask him. Why? Now, the answer primarily will be because Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. Okay, I'm pretty skeptical about that. We've been hearing that for 10 years or maybe even longer. I think there were definitely a lot of financial reasons. And I mean, look at this. These guys, they control an area that apparently can put the whole world in peril just by them supposedly cutting it off or doing whatever. So it seems like that is a problem that just no one ever wanted to address. But let's go on, because Trump obviously did not do this for America. He did it for Israel. We all know this.
Tell me. You know, you accuse Netanyahu of dragging Trump into an unnecessary war with Iran. So let's think about what it actually means. Do you really think that a foreign leader can pull the president of the United States into a war he didn't want? And what does it tell us about Trump? Is he really that weak?
Well, I don't think that that could happen. I saw it happen. I was there.
I was there.
And so that happened.
I was there. He's always,
he was there.
I think this guy's always there, but he seems to be like in Israel or somebody else's podcast, or he's doing his... But
he
somehow he's always there.
He was there when Bibi Netanyahu forced Donald Trump to go to war with Iran. He was there.
The United States into a war he didn't want. And what does it tell us about Trump? Is he really that weak?
Well, I don't think that that could happen. I saw it happen. I was there. And so that happened. So the question is why?
He says this a lot, I've noticed. I was there. I was there. I think he means he saw something on TV or he read the New York Times article without pictures, or they said that something happened in the war room, but he was there.
And I just want to be clear, I don't primarily blame the Israeli prime minister, who I think is wrong. I think he's gravely hurt Israel. I think he's leading Israel toward destruction. I think he's a very bad leader and a very unwise leader. However, I also believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu is acting in what he thinks is his nation's best interest. So I give him credit for that and always have. I don't blame him primarily. I blame Donald Trump for folding under the pressure from Benjamin Netanyahu and his many allies in the United States. Donors to Donald Trump, people in the media class here, were effectively working on behalf of the Israeli government, and Donald Trump, whose decision it was, caved under that pressure. But on February 28th, the United States followed Israel into this war. And the Secretary of State of the United States said we had no choice. They chose the time.
He didn't say we had no choice. But okay.
Israeli Prime Minister decided when this started. Well, that's the definition of control. He had control of this war. And so,
well, hold on a second. What is the definition of control? Let me just hear that again.
Half of the Israeli government and Donald Trump, whose decision it was, caved under that pressure. But on February 28th, the United States followed Israel into this war. And the Secretary of State of the United States said we had no choice. They chose the time. The Israeli Prime Minister decided when this started. Well, that's the definition of control. He had control of this war.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Even if you took Lubio's statement at face value, it wasn't control, he said, because I know because we played the clip ad nauseum and pulled it apart. He said Israel was going to strike, and that would mean that we would have strikes, so we had to go. But I don't think that's the definition of control, is it?
Of course not.
Okay.
And so
this
my question:
Tucker's simplification of things.
Well, that's what he does.
Well, that's the definition of control. He had control of this war. And so my question is, why did Donald Trump allow a nation of 9 million people to pull the United States, a nation of 350 million people?
The logical inconsistency. First, he defines control to mean something he wants it to mean, so he can then make the assertion that how does a nation of 9 million people control? I mean, it's a trick.
Ah,
he uses trickery.
Literary
to make his
trickery.
Point.
Yes, literary trickery.
Yeah, it's a trick, and it's like, okay, well, you if you didn't push back on the earlier assertion, now he's got you. This is like how a pathological liar works, where they get you to agree to one thing that they know that you're cooked because you've already agreed to the other thing. So everything that logically stems from that must be true.
Oh, yeah. Tucker's very good at that. But now he adds another 50 million people to our country, which I thought was interesting.
When this started. Well, that's the definition of control. He had control of this war. And so my question is, why did Donald Trump allow a nation of 9 million people to pull the United States, a nation of 350 million people, that will change it?
Are we at 350 now?
Yeah, we've been at 350 for a while.
No, we were at 250 for a while, and then were 300.
No, you're listening to an old show.
It's future, and it is bad for the United States. And I can't answer that question.
You can't answer.
I don't have an answer.
You want to hear more? A couple more.
I don't have an answer. That's good.
you want to hear some more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
To imply that Donald Trump is so weak that a foreign leader can drag him into a war he doesn't want.
Well, I'm not.
You hesitated that maybe.
Now he's going to kind of walk it back. Well, I never said that.
He just said it.
He just said it.
To imply that Donald Trump is so weak that a foreign leader can drag him into a war he doesn't want.
Well, I'm not.
You hesitated and may be afraid to say clearly that Donald Trump is weak.
Let me say two things. For one, of course, I'm not afraid, or I wouldn't be doing this interview or talking about this at all.
But maybe you're wrong by not seeing what is very blunt truth, that if the United States would cave in to Iran terror regime that controls now also the Hormuz pathway and the terror ring that it created in the Middle East, maybe it would be even worse for any citizens in the world, not only in Israel, but also in the United States. And this is exactly what Donald Trump said. He said that the United States would have been in danger. So you don't believe Donald Trump?
I don't believe Donald Trump. And I also think, as an Israeli, you should pause before using the phrase terror regime, since you live in a country that just murdered thousands of children in Gaza. We should all pull back a little bit on the rhetoric.
Yes. Well, that's the rhetoric. We should all pull back on the rhetoric after I just threw out some rhetoric. Two more clips.
But the behavior of the Israeli government in Gaza is disgusting and immoral. And of course, Israel's not a democracy in any sense. There are millions of people who live under Israeli control who cannot vote, right? And so if the West Bank, Judea and Samaria and Gaza, or whatever we're calling these places.
Judea and Samaria? What?
Which Israel has controlled since 1967, have people living in them who have no control over the government that controls their lives, which is true. It's not a democracy. So let's just drop the talking points. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on self-defense. I don't think killing children is self-defense. It never will be. Mm-hmm. And no amount of recounting the legitimate atrocities of October 7th will ever get me to accept this behavior from the Israeli government, from the U.S. government, from the Iranian government, or any government. It's always wrong. And Israel doesn't like to acknowledge the existence of universal principles mm-hmm. that apply to everyone equally. That's why they're principles, not preferences. And Israel, again, which I've always liked as a country, is a lot of civilized, decent people living there to this day, has to acknowledge that principles are universal. They apply to everyone, even you, even me. My government, your government, every government. But you won't acknowledge that. It's always like, oh, Iran's bad. Yeah, Iran's bad. But your behavior is bad, too.
Okay, I can't counter that. I mean, lots of behavior is bad. I mean, there's stuff going on in Nigeria. There's stuff going on everywhere. But yeah, Israel seems to be the focus. And then we get the final question, which you've all been waiting for.
Anything? I don't think the United States should give Israel anything. I think we should stop all aid to Israel, all special deals for Israel. Tomorrow.
Mr. Carson, are you running for office? Do you consider running for office?
I am not running for office. I have no plans to run for office. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to believe that the Republican Party does not serve the United States. And I certainly believe the Democratic Party does not serve the United States. And so I hope we have an option. I would like a democracy in the United States like I'd like one in Israel.
So I'm moving to
Israel's
Qatar.
Not a democracy. The United States apparently is not a democracy either. Our government keeps doing things that people don't want. So that's not democracy. It's the opposite of democracy. And I want democracy very, very much.
I want democracy.
Democracy?
Too.
Democracy.
It's a republic, you dumb shit. He knows that.
But he wants democracy, as you yelled in the background, in Qatar. In Qatar. Yes, that's where you want to buy a house, because you feel safe there, in the democracy of Qatar. With a king.
With a king.
With a king. It's just interesting. It's interesting he's doing this. I think he is running. I think he does have a plan. I really do.
Yep. What do you mean?
I think he really has thoughts, and people are talking to him. We know people are talking to him. Your boy Kiriakou is talking to him. Boy, I called him. Yeah, Tucker, you got to run, man. You can win this thing. You can win this thing. I am sure he's thinking about it. Why else do you do these interviews? Do your podcast. Do your podcast. Who cares? Channel 13 in Israel. It was a fluke that I got it.
Yeah, it's a fluke.
Yeah. So... anyway, I just thought
well,
that was
let's
fun.
Well, let's get the main story that was pushed on the ABC News out of the way, because I have a 3x3 about the mosque.
And now it's time for 3x3.
It's experiment
by JCD.
Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC.
The never-ending 3x3.
That's right, the top stories from the three big ones. John's got them lined up. Let's see if they are exactly the same or if something is a little different in one of them. Here we go.
ABC.
Tonight, authorities have revealed the two shooters were wearing body armor and camouflage, armed with shotguns, rifles, and handguns when they stormed the Islamic Center of San Diego,
camouflage,
shooting and killing three people, including a hero security guard. And they live-streamed the attack using what appear to be helmet cameras. The shooters made it inside the front entrance of a building just feet away from school children. Police say the suspects went room by room and found no one. They headed back outside to the parking lot. Police believe the suspects heard the sound of rapidly approaching sirens and fled the scene. This new video from blocks away shows the suspects then opening fire at a landscaper who wasn't injured. Both shooters then later found dead of self-inflicted gunshot wounds.
Tonight, sources say the suspects are 17-year-old Kane Clark, a high school wrestler, and 18-year-old Caleb Vasquez. The FBI says they met and were radicalized online and shared a broad hatred of different races and religions. The live stream appears to show them wearing neo-Nazi symbols.
I can confirm there has been a manifesto that's been recovered. They didn't discriminate on who they hated.
Police say the 17-year-old suspect's mother had called police 2 hours before the shooting, fearing he was suicidal, saying her weapons and vehicles were missing, setting off a manhunt before the attack.
And David, we have just learned from sources that a person previously reported the 18-year-old suspect in this case, and police made contact with him. They were reported that he was interested in extremism and mass casualty attacks. David?
So many grateful to that hero security guard tonight. Trevor Ault, thank you.
You know, you wake up and you're interested in mass casualty events. Okay.
They met online and got radicalized. How?
Oh, very easy. By the constant videos everywhere telling you that Islam is taking over America. Throw in some SSRIs, which you'll never hear about, and you've got yourself a powder keg. This doesn't surprise me at all. And this, they didn't care about who they hated. Bullshit. Just go online. It's look at this imam. Look at this guy. Oh, look at this. Oh, they're taking over 200 mosques in Texas. They're going to get a Sharia law. Yeah.
NBC.
Yeah, NBC.
You can hear the gunshots. A person scrambling to push a stroller to safety as a suspect opens fire in a San Diego neighborhood. And here, glass breaking as more shots come from that very vehicle. Police say just minutes before that shooting, two gunmen unleashed a deadly rampage at a mosque, sending school kids running for their lives. Two senior law enforcement officials telling NBC News the gunmen have been identified as 18-year-old Caleb Vasquez and 17-year-old Kane Clark. And three senior law enforcement officials tell NBC News they're trying to authenticate a document purportedly written by the suspects full of anti-Islamic and anti-Semitic views, also describing themselves as anti-Trump. Outside the car where police say they killed themselves, a bottle with a Nazi SS symbol.
They didn't discriminate on who they hated.
And at 9:40 a.m. Monday, 2 hours before the killing spree, police say Clark's mother called police to report her suicidal son had run away, taking his parents' weapons and car. Police started a search, including at a mall and school, when 2 hours later, the first reports of gunfire at the mosque. And then that second shooting scene. Just blocks away, branches still on the ground after police say the gunman opened fire on a landscaper. One bullet grazing off his helmet, another embedded right here in this very home.
As this investigation is still ongoing, Morgan, I know you have some new reporting in on these suspects.
Yeah, Tom, we do. And in addition to recovering those 30 firearms and crossbows, authorities say that they believe these two teenagers met online where they were later radicalized. And upon realizing that both lived here in San Diego, that's when they started meeting in person. And right now they're doing a deep dive into their electronic devices.
Deep dive.
I wonder if there was Discord involved. And none of this should be surprising. They hate Trump, okay? They probably, did they watch Tucker? Did they watch Fuentes? The Jews are killing America. The Muslims are killing America. This is what online narrative is. It's in our own troll room. I'm not surprised by this. They were probably radicalized by some trolls here. It doesn't surprise me at all. It's extremely sad. I think, I'll wait until we play CBS. Did they do something different?
CBS or CIA outlet. The only thing that I find interesting was that both reports said they didn't discriminate against who they hated.
Yeah.
Let's see if CBS does that.
There's a reason for this. I don't know what it is yet, but we're going to find out.
We've seized over 30 guns and a crossbow.
San Diego police say the two teens who carried out the mosque shooting crossbow and apparently live streamed their rampage were likely motivated by hate.
We also identified writings and various ideologies outlining religious and racial beliefs of how the world they envision should look.
The two teenagers, 17-year-old Kane Clark and Caleb Vasquez, 18, met online and connected over their hate-filled beliefs. They approached the mosque just before noon on Monday and started shooting. The gunman came within 15 feet of 140 children inside. Two mosque members, Nadir Awad and Mansour Kazia, engaged the shooters, moving them outside. Earlier, Amin Abdullah, a security guard and father of eight, enacted lockdown protocols and took on the gunman.
I felt a bit scared. My legs were shaking and my hands. And my head was like hurting me a lot.
A landscaper working nearby was shot at. A bullet deflected off of his helmet, likely saving his life.
Imam Taha Hussein says their community is shaken, but
I know that my community is resilient. We're just trying our best to show the best of who we are, to stand in solidarity with one another, especially with the families of the three victims.
Police believe the shooters died from self-inflicted gunshot wounds, and tonight there is growing concern over hate directed at religious groups, and faith institutions are asking for additional police presence. Tony?
Yeah. Well, Christians are on deck next. That'll be next.
This has already happened a couple of times. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I know.
The school shootings with the trans shooters. These guys weren't trans that we know of. No. And I'd like to know, ask a question. What brings somebody to kill? They're ideologues. They're going on and they're bitching and moaning about one thing or another, and they're going to kill a bunch of Muslims. They want to do this. They want to do that. Then they shoot themselves. Wouldn't they rather be like living martyrs so they could go into the prisons and get people on their side of things or try to proselytize or do something other than shoot themselves? This whole thing stinks.
Well, that's the SSRIs talking in combo with some Discord.
It's got to be.
Clearly. But, you know, I'm looking for this video. Let me see. I'll look for it in a moment. This is an example of why people get all spun up and angry. But first, CBS was the only one who had a little bit of the audio of the kid, the 9-year-old. CNN, they went to the mat. Let's get this 9-year-old kid on camera. Let's do it. This will be great. It's great television.
I felt a bit scared. My legs were shaking, my hands. And my head was like hurting me a lot. I felt like a rock. The teachers and the kids were like shaking, sad and stuff. And when the guy kicked the door, all of them were crying. I heard like a bunch of bad stuff, like gunshots. And plus, I went inside the closet with my whole class. We heard like 12 or like 16 gunshots. And then the SWAT team said, "FBI, open up." And they opened the door and they went inside. They told us to put our hands up and form a big line. We were like walking inside the Musalla. All of us, we saw the Sheikh's apartment inside the mosque. And like it was broken down. We went down and then we saw a bunch of bad stuff. People laying down and bad stuff.
Oh, man. Child abuse.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say the same thing.
That's child abuse. So this is a
poor kid.
This is a guy at a city hall meeting in Frisco, Texas. And he's got, for some reason, he has body armor on, like military, you know, plate in the front, plate in the back. And this is the kind of stuff that gets people really spun up. And I can see that this gets kids, you know, into this radicalized state.
Frisco is Stan. What are you guys doing here? Inviting the enemy to eat at the table with you and they steal all your food. Your children will grow up without a place to be in because every single one of their jobs, and you saw the children that were brought up on this stage, not one of them is a heritage American. Not one of them was a Texan. Your replacement is here, Americans, and it is coming faster and faster. The Hindus and the Muslims are teaming up to take over Texas. This is not Muslims versus Hindus here. They are here to eradicate the Christians. They are here to drive us out of our homelands. You have to understand, these people do not want to assimilate. These people have not come here to become Americans. They have come here to drag their third world culture over to our country. If Jainism, if Hinduism is so great, why are their countries shitholes? They are bringing this ideology ideology here to turn the third world is not a place. It is a people. It is an ideology. It is a way of life. It is a culture. And when they bring their people, their way of life, their ideology, and their culture over to America, do you think it's going to remain American? Have you ever looked across the plains of Texas and said, I need 5 million Jeets here right now to shit in the street? No one ever has. No one has ever looked across and said, the football fields, the games, excuse all me, of sir. The amazing cowboy. Me,
you'll
I have the
language.
First Amendment right, and I can curse if you'll I want to.
Watch language.
I can talk if I want to. Oh, no one has ever looked across the plains of Texas and the football games and all the amazing cowboy culture and the raw American spirit here and said, let's replace this with Muslims. Let's replace this with Hindus. Texas should remain for Texans.
This guy has spun up. But this is the feeling, John, that is being created online. I think the reality in some places, yeah, you've got enclave. Just like, is this anything different than Chinatown, than Little Italy, than Jew Town, Hasidic Jew? Is it any different? Has it ever been any different? You're muted.
Ghettos.
Yeah, but has it ever been any different?
There's always been ghettos.
Yeah.
I think if they're talking about people crapping in the street, it's not the Hindus. It's the homeless in San Francisco. They're not Hindus.
Don't look at those. Those are Americans, damn it. So, but this is what people watch. And like, yeah. There's no heritage Americans.
Whatever that means.
White. That's a new term.
That's cute.
So, you know, and I push back here all the time. I said, you're out of your mind. There are 25,000 churches in Texas and 253 mosques over the last 20 years, not the last 2 years like you see online. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, change the Constitution. Change the Bill of Rights. Only Christians. But this is the it's flowing over from what happened in Europe, which is a very different situation. And it's not Muslims. It's Islamists. It's a big difference. He's right about that. It's a political ideology. And if you see some dudes talking about, we're going to take over America, they should get a knock on the door. Hey, what's your problem, son? Let's make sure you don't have anything strange going on here.
Yeah, they should get a knock on the door. We don't do that enough.
I agree.
But, you know, we wait till somebody does something, then we arrest them. When you should just, you know, preventative crime prevention is very easily done by just
stop that. Yeah, stop that for a moment, will you? Stop it. Exactly. Well, I don't have enough of that. We agree on that. So, you know, so then you get this. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I have the MSNBC report just to wrap this up.
You know, Rob, I want to piggyback off of Eamon's idea about the piece of this community being this mosque, its longevity in this community. I want you to listen real quick to the Imam Taha Hassan and what he had to say about this moment.
It is extremely outrageous to target a place of worship. Our Islamic Center is a place of worship. People come to the Islamic Center to pray, to celebrate, to learn. Not only Muslims, but we have people from all walks of life. Just this morning, earlier, a group of people, non-Muslims, coming just to learn about our faith and our cultures. So, this is something that we have never expected.
Eamon noted that, you know, they've been there since the late 1980s. So the depth and the roots of this community and this center of faith and learning clearly is not enough. You know, those roots are no longer enough. In this new space where
God, I didn't realize he stammered so much.
Well, he's trying to, you know, he's in his sincere mode. You know, he has
this guy's a stooge.
Yes, he is a stooge. He is. Anyway.
Well, let's go to another story that I think is the weird. To me, is weird. I don't understand it completely. I don't know how we can do it, but we've done it, which is Castro indictment.
Yeah, this is good. Which one do you want to play first?
Well, I'll start with the NPR, which I think is the overview.
You mean the NTD?
Did I? Yeah, NTD.
Okay.
Exactly.
Tonight, the Justice Department's indictment of former Cuban dictator Raul Castro today marks a significant move in the Trump administration's escalating pressure against Cuba. NTD's Arlene Richards has the story.
Federal authorities in Miami on Wednesday announcing charges against Raul Castro tied to the 1996 shootdown of civilian planes operated by Brothers to the Rescue, an incident that killed four people. Castro served for decades as one of the most powerful figures in Cuba's communist regime. He was Cuba's defense minister at the time of the attack and later became the country's president, succeeding his brother, Fidel Castro.
Today, we are announcing an indictment charging Raul Castro and several others with conspiracy to kill U.S. nationals. Mr. Castro and the others are charged with additional crimes as well, including destruction of aircraft and four individual counts of murder.
Castro faces a maximum term of life imprisonment on the conspiracy and murder charges and up to 5 years on each of the destruction of aircraft charges. Prosecutors accuse Castro of involvement in the order to shoot those planes down.
Raul Castro ordered those fighter jets to shoot down unarmed civilian aircraft. It was not an accident. It was intentional, premeditated, state-sanctioned murder. And their criminal conspiracy violated Florida's sovereignty.
The announcement comes alongside a commemoration service for those who lost their lives. Federal authorities say that the charges are a step toward accountability.
For nearly 70 years, the communist Cuban regime has acted with impunity in its systematic repression of its people. And for the last 30 years, this regime's senior leadership has gone unchallenged for its murder of four Americans.
While it remains unclear whether there are plans to bring Castro into U.S. custody, the indictment represents one of the strongest legal actions yet taken against Cuba's former leadership.
To me, it seemed very obvious what this was. Solidify Florida for the midterms. We've got to have Florida. Got to make sure we nail that down.
But I don't think I don't think Florida's in play.
Well, it isn't now, that's for sure.
Well, the other I have mixed feelings about this. One, they claim that the Cubans sent some fighters to shoot down these planes in Florida airspace. If that was true, why weren't those fighters brought down by missiles?
No, I don't think the story is important. I think it's all...
Well, I'm just saying. I'm asking these questions.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Cuba says, no, we did this over our land, and this is these planes were in our airspace, and we shot them down.
Mm.
The other thing is, this went on for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's 30 years ago this happened.
Yeah, this is just posturing. They're just getting ready to take over the place.
Well, let's listen to the analysis, because I have a theory about this.
Okay.
Let's go to analysis one.
Next, officials in Florida today reacting to the federal indictment of former Cuban dictator Raul Castro, saying it will be life-changing for people living in Cuba as well as the U.S. NTD's David Lamb has more on that.
Officials in Florida sharing their thoughts on the latest developments regarding Cuba after the federal indictment of Raul Castro, the former head of Cuba's communist regime.
Alexander Diaz Rodriguez is, I think, 45 years old. Look how old he looks in this. You know why? He was starved. He was tortured. He has cancer. They didn't give him treatment. That's the face of the Cuban regime.
The indictment describes how Fidel Castro, his brother Raul Castro, and others established a ruthless communist dictatorship in Cuba after seizing power in 1959. Secretary of State Marco Rubio addressing the Cuban people directly.
Estados Unidos estamos listos para abrir un nuevo capítulo en la relación entre nuestra gente y nuestros países. Y actualmente, lo único que se interpone en el camino hacia un mejor futuro son quienes controlan su país.
Congressman Carlos Jimenez, a Cuban-American, says he looks forward to a free Cuba.
Very happy for today. I was born in Cuba, returned to Guantanamo about a year ago, and I made a promise that I would never return to Cuba again unless it was free. I believe I'm going to be able to keep that promise, and I'm going to see a free Cuba in the not-too-distant future.
Castro's indictment stems from his alleged involvement in Cuba's shooting down of two planes belonging to a humanitarian group in 1996, in which three American citizens and a U.S. resident were killed.
And people were swimming across the Florida Strait, and the Brothers to the Rescue were going out on their own to help people get to our shores to escape tyranny. And they gave the order, Raul Castro, to shoot them down, to shoot them out of the sky. Well, today there will be justice.
What's the difference between now and then is that we have President Trump in the White House. That is the big difference.
Here's a thought. Two things happened this week. Can you be vice president for a different president twice? So could J.D. Vance could be Lubio's vice president?
There's absolutely no reason you can't do that.
Oh, perfect. This is it. Lubio for president. And he'll have a huge, huge base behind him. And J.D. Vance, you know, we just saw he's great at the press conferences. So he'll be vice president slash press secretary.
Forever.
Yeah. This is positioning. Look at the difference. Lubio gets to say what he just did, and Vance gets to run the press. It's a winning team, man.
Let's go. Now we have a CIA guy they brought in, which brings me to my thoughts, which I'll after this second clip of the analysis.
And joining us to discuss the implications of these charges against former dictator and defense minister Raul Castro is Michael Waller. He's a former CIA operative and senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy. Michael, today for you must be surreal. You've spent your career in defense, national security, and foreign policy development with a specialty on Latin America. What is the significance of this May 20th Cuban Independence Day with accountability on the horizon for a Castro?
It's a great day. Raul Castro killed a lot of my friends. He had them gunned down across Central America and elsewhere. So this is a really exciting time to see this man finally brought in for justice in shackles.
Your response gives me chills. Would you expect Castro to turn himself in, or perhaps chills, a Maduro-style operation? Or is he just too old to even be able to make that trip back to the U.S. in his mid-90s at this point?
Well, I think he'd rather die than surrender. That's part of his nature. So he'll have to just make a choice, or we'll make it for him. Just noted today, the U.S. Southern Command announced that the aircraft carrier Nimitz strike group has just entered the Caribbean. And if you look at the video that they posted on X, there's a map of Cuba in the very last half second.
Okay. Yes. Well, this is not unexpected.
So I think this is Trump finally getting around to completing the Bay of Pigs operation that Kennedy chickened out on.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the CIA wanted to take this guy out right away.
They couldn't.
While the getting was good, and